Before I read the scripture today, there's two things I want to tell you so that maybe you can hear a little bit deeper what's going on in the scripture. The first thing, this is one of the parables of Jesus. It's kind of two melded together here. And we need to understand what a parable is. A parable normally teaches one lesson. It normally teaches from something that we know about and something we're familiar with. But what normally happens with a parable is it's turned upside down at some point, and it's supposed to be shocking to us. He just said, what? Wait a minute, that's not right. Well, this parable has a twist in it, but it's much harder for us to see it because our wedding customs are not the same wedding customs that was in Jesus' day. So let me just give you a little insight into their wedding customs so that as I read this, maybe what gets turned upside down you'll notice. You see, their wedding custom was for the groom to go to his father-in-law's house where the ceremony often would be held. Back at the groom's house, the house that he had prepared for them and for them to be married and to move into, would be his servants. And they would be there ready for when he returns home, and they don't really know when that's going to happen. You see, because the groom goes over to his father-in-law's house, they have the ceremony, and they have a party. And the party may last 2 or 3 days, or it may last a whole week before he goes back home. It's a long and involved process. It's a lot of celebrating, and maybe that will help you understand what Jesus, his first miracle in the book of John, when he changes water into wine, and the chief steward calls people over and says, hey, you saved the good wine for last. Think about a 7-day party. Okay? You saved the good wine for last, and the chief steward says, most people serve the good wine first, and once everybody's had the taste of wine after a couple of days, then they serve the wine that doesn't taste so good because nobody notices then. I wonder why. In this case, the groom has gone off for the wedding ceremony. He has gone to his father-in-law's house. They have done all the formalities of everything, and they've had a party that we're not quite sure how long it's lasted. His servants are at home waiting for the bride and groom to come home to have everything prepared and everything ready. So I want you to listen to this parable now, and I hope now you will notice there is a difference and something has been turned completely upside down in this scripture. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 35. It says, be ready for service and keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master find them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It would be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour that you do not expect him. Well, you see, there's one understanding that oftentimes we grab a hold of, and we hold on to that understanding as we look at this parable. We hold on to the understanding and we realize that this is about the second or the final coming of Christ, and that we need to be prepared and that we need to be ready when that happens. But there's also, I want to eventually look at today, there's also, I think, a second place that this parable works in our lives. It's about Jesus Christ coming to us in the midst of our day about the needs for this world right now. It's not just about Jesus coming for a second coming, but it's also about Him coming to speak to us about the needs for this day. Something that we need to know and something that we need to hear, and we need to be prepared for that. Let me deal with the place that we normally go with this scripture all the time. The second or final coming of Christ will happen at an unexpected time in our future. It will happen at an unexpected time in our future. We cannot program that date, and there are many, many people who have tried. Many people, and you've seen this in the news, and you've seen people say this is the date that Christ is coming again, and what happens? It doesn't happen. I want you to understand this is going to be an unexpected moment. It is going to be a time when you don't think it's going to happen. It is going to happen when you least expect it and least would think it would happen. And here's what I want to ask you. Have you finished your preparation for Christ coming again? Have you finished your preparation for Christ coming again? Not knowing when that will happen, I refuse to try to predict it in any way. Because Jesus, when He was asked about it, especially by His disciples, He looked at them and He told them, "This is not for you to know about. This is not for you to be concerned about. What I want you to be concerned about is living in this world, affecting lives for the kingdom of God right now." That's what Jesus told them over and over again. They continued to ask Him for a date. They continued to ask Him for a time. And He put His hands up and He says, "I don't know. Only God knows that." But what I want to ask you is, have you finished your preparations for Christ coming again? You see, when Christ comes again, it's all over. It's all done. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, when that happens, it says that Christ will separate the sheep from the goats. And some will go into their eternal rest. And some will go into eternal damnation. That's the truth. That's what Scripture tells us over and over again. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? All you have to do is acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you cannot save yourself, and believe in what Jesus Christ has done for you. But then you need to make a commitment to that. And when I say believe in what Jesus Christ has done for you, I do not mean, "Oh, I know about that and I understand the facts." It means that you have put your complete trust in Jesus to be your Savior. And when that happens and you make a commitment to follow that way, your preparations for Jesus coming again are done. Scripture tells us that over and over again, that once we've accepted Him as our Savior, that we are secure in our faith and we are saved by God's grace and God's grace alone, and we will be taken into heaven to live for all eternity with Christ. Now that's the understanding that we normally grab when we read this parable. That this is about the second coming. And some of us go, "Well, I'm prepared and I'm ready for that. I've already done everything I needed to do." And we breeze right over the parable when we read it. And we may not deal with it again, and we may not think about it, because we go, "That doesn't deal with me. Because my preparations are done." And I hope your preparations are done. I have no doubt in my mind when Christ comes back again, if he comes back before I die, that I will be caught up with him and taken to heaven and live there for all eternity. There is no doubt in my mind about that. But I want to acknowledge that on another level, going a deeper level, I want to ask you this question. Going a deeper level with this parable, are you prepared, if Jesus comes today, to speak with you about the current needs of this world? Are you prepared and ready, if Jesus comes to you today, to speak to you about the very current needs of this world within your family, within your neighborhood, within our town and our church, within our county and our state, within this nation and within the world? If God were to come to you, if Jesus were to come with you and sit down before you, would he find out that you were prepared for what needs to be done now? Are you prepared for what needs to be done now? Is your lamp lit? And do you have everything ready? Let's go back and look at this parable here for a second and see the surprising thing that happens. And I think the surprising thing that happens should grab a hold of us, and we should say, wow, look at that. Look at what happened. You see, the groom is off getting his bride. In the midst of a celebration and ceremonies and all the formalities of things that are going on there, and his servants are back home, and what are they doing? They're preparing the house and getting the house ready and making sure everything is straight so that when the bride and groom get there, that they can relax and take it easy. That they can do whatever they want and the servants will take care of them. Pay attention to the parable, though. It says the groom comes back at an unexpected time. And it may be the middle of the night, it may be daybreak, it may be at any time. And when the groom finds his servants ready and prepared to do everything that he asked them to do, what does it say he does? He tells them to sit down at the table. And he goes off and prepares a meal for them. The groom does. Now wait a minute. There's the surprising thing, if you didn't catch it as we read through it. There is the surprising thing. These servants are here ready to serve the bride and groom when they come home. They've prepared everything and got everything straight. The groom comes in and says, wow, you guys are prepared. Sit down around the table and let me cook you a meal. Isn't that surprising? That's not the way it's supposed to be happening. The servants are the ones that sit down around the table. The groom goes in. You know what I wondered this week as I read through this and looked at it? What does the wife think about all this? They just got married. What does the wife think about all this and the groom coming home and saying, hey guys, sit down. I'll go in the kitchen and I'll fix something for you. Because you're ready. Because you're prepared. Now, here's where it gets even more exciting for me as I thought about this. The groom comes in and he does all this work and he prepares a meal and he feeds his servants. He feeds them because they're ready and they're prepared. You know what? Their feed bag is now full, don't you think? Don't you think it is? Their feed bag is now full. You know, our customs in the United States are, at least this is the custom I grew up with. You tell me if it's the same custom around here, because I'm still trying to learn some of these things. My custom with my grandparents especially was, what gets put on your plate, you eat all of it. right? You clean your plate. You don't leave anything on your plate. You finish every piece of whatever's there. And we used to tell our kids, even if it's a yucky vegetable. Now, there's very few vegetables I classify as yucky. But I have found a lot of other people classify them as yucky. Okay, I had one of those good yucky vegetables this week. Where's Chris? Deanne fixed me some fried okra. And for some of you, that's a good yucky vegetable. Okay? Beets are a yucky vegetable, I found out. I didn't know that. Okay? But we taught our kids the same thing I learned. You finish what's on your plate. Guess what? That's not the same custom around the world, folks. That is not the same custom around the world. You see, when I went to Kenya, when you finished everything on your plate, I looked at it and I was like, one night especially, as the father dug in the bowl and said, oh, no, you're honored guest. You get. And I said, Lord, I don't know what that is. And I don't think I've ever eaten one of those. But tonight, give me the grace to be able to eat that. And I pray that I never get another one. And you know what happened when I cleaned my plate? Oh, you're honored guest. You get more. So I cleaned my plate a second time. Oh, that means you want more in Kenya. Every time you clean your plate, you get another full, complete plate. And after three plates, on the third plate, I realized I must leave something on my plate. And they looked at me and said, do you not feel well? Are you stopping there? You see, customs are different. And I want to tell you, I bet these servants ate again and again and again. And the groom said, let me give you some more. And now their feed bag is completely full. And you know what they can do now with their full feed bag? You see, the roles have been reversed. When Jesus finds those people who are prepared and ready to serve, and then, as Jesus serves us, our feed bag will be filled, and then we'll be ready to serve others. That's an exciting thing to me. That's an incredibly exciting thing. The bridegroom comes and finds out that I'm ready and that I'm prepared to serve. And he says, before you go out and serve, sit down for a minute. I'm going to serve you the best feast you've ever had. And once you eat from this feast and you got your feed bag full, I want you to go out and feed other people. You know, that's a shocking thing when I read this parable. Yes, we often look at this parable and we say, oh, it's about the end times and I'm prepared for the end times and I'm ready for the end times and that's okay and I don't need to listen to this parable anymore. What if Jesus came to you this afternoon? Would Jesus find you prepared and ready to serve this world? Would he say, sit down for a moment and let me fix you a meal? Would he say, it's so wonderful that I found you ready. So let me fill up your feed bag so you can go out and feed other folks. Let me fill it to overflowing so that everywhere you go, even what spills out might feed people. Are you ready? Are you prepared? So let me ask you these two questions. What will Jesus see when he comes to check on you? What will Jesus see when he comes to check on you? Are you prepared and ready to serve? Are you prepared and ready to serve? Because I can honestly tell you this. Jesus will come today to see you and talk to you about the needs of this world. Jesus will come today to see you and talk to you about the needs of this world. Are you prepared and ready to do something about it? And then when Jesus comes to talk to you about those things and says, hey, sit down for a moment. Let me feed you. You see, with an empty feed bag, we can't feed, can we? Jesus is going to feed you first. And Jesus is going to say, now that I have, go out and feed other people. I'm honest when I say this. Jesus is coming to you today to see if you're prepared and ready. And then you'll experience a feast like you never have before. And you'll have so much food that you can't wait to go out and share it with other folks. You'll be so excited, and the whole thing is turned upside down, isn't it? Because it's about the servants serving. And Jesus says, oh no, let me serve you first. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, it's an incredible thing to think about. First off, that you have even asked us to be ready. You even asked us to be prepared. That you are entrusting to us the very work of this kingdom. That's incredible. But then, Lord, when you come and you see us with hearts that are ready to serve, desires that are ready to reach out, you say, pause. Let's pause for a moment. Let's stop for a time. Let's have a great banquet before you go out. Lord, thank you for feeding us so that we might be able to feed others. Thank you for reaching out to us that we might be able to reach out to others. Thank you for pulling us up from the low places in life to see the high places with you that we might be able to go out and pull others up from those same low places to see what it means to walk in a highway with a Lord and a God that trusts us. Father, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.